ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथोबलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सामवेदीये केनोपनिषदि द्वितीयः खण्डे प्रथममन्त्रादारभ्य विल् लेट् सीड् फ्रम् फस्ट् मन्त्र। यदि मन्यसे सुवेदेति दहरमेवापि नूनम् त्वम् वेत्थ ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यदस्य त्वम् यदस्य च देवेषु अथ नु मीमांस्यमेव ते मन्ये विदितम्। यु हौ टु वेर् टु कर्ट्लीड् break and read. Okay. Naham manye suvedeti no na vedeti vedacha yo nastadveda tadveda no na vedeti vedacha yasya matam tasya matam matam yasya na vedasaha avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam. Following the teacher's question presented in the first mantra and the student's brilliant answer present in the second mantra, now Upanishad herself presents the gist of the content of the conversation, the dialogue happened between the student and the teacher. So Upanishad repeated the third mantra we saw, yasya matam tasya amatam. Brahman is unknown to the person for whom Brahman is the known. Brahman is known to the person for whom Brahman is not the known. Having said that, Upanishad said, Brahman is unknown to those who know Brahman. Brahman is known to those who do not know Brahman. Avijanatam, vijnatam, vijanatam, avijnatam. What Upanishad conveys in that one mantra is, Brahman is known means Brahman is taken to be an object other than oneself. If Brahman is taken to be other than oneself, then there is incorrect understanding of Brahman. So doubtful knowledge, which is called samshaya purnam jnanam. Samshayaha is there, or viparyaha, if there is error in the knowledge. So erroneous knowledge and doubtful knowledge also as good as, erroneous knowledge is as good as ignorance. Doubtful knowledge also is as good as ignorance. Therefore, Upanishad just rejects, again stating, those who know Brahman do not know. And those who do not know Brahman, they know. It sounds contradictory. How can the non-knowers be the knowers of Brahman? What Upanishad says is, the non-knower of Brahman is the one for whom Brahman is not an object other than the self. For whom Brahman is the very self. Therefore, the non-knowers of Brahman here are the ones who know Brahman not as an object but as the very self. Therefore, there is no contradiction. Again, Upanishad herself continues again in the fourth mantra. Let us go see the fourth mantra. Okay. Now, this fourth mantra, before even reading it, this is the Puja Swamiji, some certain portion Swamiji loves, okay? And he rave about the mantra. When he was giving division, and you can see how Swamiji enjoys unfolding the mantra also. Like certain portion Taittiriya Upanishad and also this specific mantra. Why? Because this is the most important, the significant mantra, not only in this Upanishad, the most significant of all the mantras of all the Upanishads. We can say it's the most significant of mantra, most significant mantra in all the entire Vedantic literature. Why it is most significant? Why it is the most profound mantra? Because it is this mantra where Upanishad beautifully presents what exactly is aparoksham jnanam. Aparoksham jnanam can be really correctly understood only by understanding the meaning of this mantra. Again, definitely Brahman cannot be the object. If Brahman is an object, it will be limited by the subject. If Brahman is the subject also, it will be limited by the object. So Brahman is neither the subject nor the object. But Brahman is the very truth of, the only truth of the subject and the object. Therefore, distinct from the subject and the object. Therefore, Brahman is free from these divisions. That's how Brahman becomes one non-dual truth. But the Brahman has to be arrived at as the truth of the knower, as the very self, as the innermost essence, obtaining the truth of the I. Therefore, here Upanishad presents this teaching. Okay, let us read the mantra first. Pratibodh viditam matam. Pratibodh viditam matam. Amrutattvam hi vindate. Pratibodh viditam matam. Amrutattvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam. Atmana vindate viryam. Vidyaya vindate mrutam. This mantra is not like other mantras. You can easily split this mantra into four quarters. Pratibodha viditam matam. Amrutattvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam. Vidyaya vindate mrutam. Okay. So here, Pratibodha viditam matam. That will be only one quarter, first quarter of the whole mantra. First half of the first line. With this, that only the within that first quarter itself, Upanishad main teaching becomes over, gets over. That first quarter itself reveals that Brahman is available for recognition as the innermost essence of the individual in one's own mind, as the very truth of I, the very truth of every cognition. Then we see what about the rest of the mantra? Amrutattvam hi vindate. Atmana vindate viryam. Vidyaya vindate amrutam. So the rest of the mantra continues the teaching and concludes with the benefit of jnanam. Okay. So pratibodha viditam. What about the word? What is the meaning of the word bodha? Bodha literally means knowledge. Because you have heard many times about this word bodha, tattva bodha, atma bodha. You have heard this word bodha many times. Akaranta pullinga shabdaha. Derived from the root budh. So bodha means knowledge, cognition. So bodha, as if you take it as pure knowledge, it is consciousness. But here it does not mean pure knowledge. It does not, bodha also means vritti jnanam, swarupa jnanam. It also means vritti jnanam, a manifested knowledge, obtaining in the form of a thought. But here, how we should take it? We're going to see what Bhagavad Pada says later on. Bodha means cognition. What is a cognition again? Cognition involves two aspects. We know very well, thought. So what is antahkaranam if you take? Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankara. Let us take the entire antahkaranam. Entire antahkaranam must be taken here. And entire antahkaranam, what it is, if you see, is nothing but constant, continuous flow of thoughts. So, thought modifications constitute the antahkaranam. So, thought is a subtlest, very, very subtle material phenomenon. And the thoughts constitute the antahkaranam. Like waves constitute the ocean, thoughts constitute the antahkaranam. Please be very careful. Don't stretch the example too much because it is completely grossest example. I'm just to make you understand. Just as thoughts, waves constitute the ocean, mind is constituted of countless number of thoughts. It means there's a constant, continuous flow of thoughts which constitute the mind. So when do we have thoughts? From the time we wake up from the sleep until we fall asleep again, continuously there are thoughts. There is a thought flow. There's a constant, continuous flow of thought from the time we wake up from sleep. The whole day we have the thoughts. The thoughts continue to be there even in dream. If we happen to have dream, and when you fall asleep completely, then until then, up to that, we have continuously thoughts. So when do the thoughts exist? When the thoughts are there, we understand the mind is a functional mind. When the thoughts are not there, mind is a non-functional mind. In fact, when the mind is non-functional, thoughts remain resolved. Like ocean of stillness of water. You can never see a ocean with stillness of water, but still, you can imagine. If the ocean or the stillness of water, like that, but when the thought mind is non-functional, thoughts remain resolved. When the mind is functional, means thoughts rise. Which mind itself, antakam, which is a function. And it's such a function, the function involves an order, which is backed by knowledge. Therefore, the function of meditation happens when thoughts rise. And here, how do you know the thought or not? Because thought is also subtle, very subtle. How do we know that? So whenever there is knowledge of the existence, first of all, knowledge of the existence of the self, then there must be, there can be knowledge of the existence of the world. Then there can be knowledge of anything and everything perceived through any of the sense organs. There can be knowledge of anything and everything inferred based on perception. There can be knowledge of anything and everything based on the presumption, comparison, or any pramanam. So any pramanam can be operated, there can be knowledge of any given object. But knowledge of any given object through any pramanam is possible only when there is knowledge of the existence of the world. The knowledge of the existence of the world is possible only when there is knowledge of the existence of the self. So knowledge of anything and everything, or cognition pertaining to anything and everything, is possible only when there is knowledge of the existence of the self. In human mind. So before the rising of the knowledge of the existence of the self, there is no other thought. That is why the thought pertaining to the I is said to be the first and the foremost of the thoughts. For it is even said to be the dead end of the mind. So when the thought pertaining to the I rises, existence of the self in terms of I am. First I, then am. Two thoughts actually. When the thought rises, I thought rises, then the thought is by itself inert material product. We have been listening to this, we've been understanding for so long. But thought shines. Thought rises, thought shines. The thought shines because there is illuminator of the thought. Without the illuminator of the thought, without the knower of the thought, seer of the thought cannot shine. Thought cannot shine. Thought cannot be known. Therefore, that which obtains as the seer of the thought, knower of the thought, the illuminator of the thought is not distant from the thought and inseparable from the thought, and that knower of the thought is consciousness. That is why any experience of any object or any cognition pertinent to any object involves two factors. The two factors, thought and consciousness, together constitute cognition. Therefore, the thought is said to be vritti jnanam. So the vritti is there, vritti is not there. How do you know? In deep sleep state, when the mind is non-functional, the thoughts do not rise, then there is no knowledge. There's no knowledge. Why there is no knowledge? When I say there's no knowledge, there is ignorance. Why there's no knowledge of the existence of the self? Why there's no knowledge of the existence of the world? Why there's knowledge of anything? Why there's no experience of anything? Because thoughts do not rise. This is how we have to understand the thought. Otherwise, how are we going to understand thought? Thought is equally subtle. The presence of thoughts, there are cognitions, there is knowledge. In the absence of thoughts, there is no cognitions. There are no cognitions, there is no knowledge. So, cognitions are knowledge. Presupposes the presence of the thoughts. Your thoughts rise, thoughts are there, cognitions are there. Thoughts are not there, cognitions are not there. Knowledge is not there. Knowledge is not there, we say there is ignorance. That's why in deep sleep state, the mind is non-functional, we say thoughts are not there. Therefore, there is no vritti jnanam. There is no manifestation of knowledge. We say, in this ignorance of the existence of the self, ignorance of the existence of the world, there is a total ignorance of everything. Okay, nothing is known. So the vrittis are there, there is knowledge. Which means, when the vrittis remain resolved, when we say there's ignorance of total ignorance, is there knowledge or not? Even then, knowledge is. When the vrittis remain resolved, also there is knowledge. The vrittis are there, also there is knowledge, but still, knowledge is not known. Knowledge is not known. Knowledge is not recognizable. Whereas when the vrittis are there, the knowledge is recognizable, which means every vritti pertaining to the self, pertaining to the world, any vritti pertaining to any object perceived through any sense organ, a vritti pertaining to anything known, serves as manifesting medium for consciousness. Which means, consciousness is always there, already there, always there. Before vritti comes, consciousness is there beginninglessly. After vritti comes, consciousness is there, manifested in the vritti, reflected in the vritti. That vritti goes, consciousness still continues to be there. So, without a beginning, without arriving, without departing, without any change, consciousness is always there. But consciousness, knowledge is recognizable in the presence of the thought. Therefore, from the standpoint of the thought alone, the same recognizable consciousness is said to be Chid Abhasaha. Really speaking, Pooja Swamiji doesn't like it, to be frank. There's no Chid Abhasaha, there's no Chit. Chit is a word which means consciousness. Abhasaha means manifestation or reflection of consciousness. Chidabhasaha. Is there Chidabhasaha? No, that's just the Chit. In the presence of the vritti, the manifesting medium, vritti is like a upadhi. The presence of the thought, when the thought shines, being illumined by the inseparable consciousness, the consciousness also is recognizable. And that consciousness manifested, but the vritti manifested in the vritti, which is recognizable, is said to be manifestation of consciousness or Chidabhasaha. Otherwise, there's only consciousness. So consciousness alone simply is said to be Chidabhasaha. Chit alone is said to be Chidabhasaha. So if physically you can't separate thought and consciousness, but cognitively you can discern the consciousness. That if you discern the consciousness and the thought, that consciousness is pure chit, pure consciousness. So we don't need to worry about the Chidabhasaha or chit, one and the same consciousness. Consciousness is always there. How? Consciousness is there without inside and outside. All pervasively consciousness is there. So inside and outside of all the individual body, minds and complexes, consciousness is there. Even though it is there pervading everything always, but it's available for recognition only in the antahkarnam as the pratyagatma, as the innermost essence of an individual, as the very content of I. So here, I am, we say, I am the knower. So the knower is consciousness. This knower consciousness is there invariably, continuously, in all the constantly changing cognitions. So cognitions rise. So then there's experience of the object. Then many experiences can happen of many things. And keep the experience, there'll be many cognitions can be there. So the thoughts pertaining to the objects are varied. And the thoughts pertaining to the objects are varied. So cognitions are varied. Variable cognitions, because variable thoughts, because objects are variable. Thoughts pertaining to the variable objects are variable. But in every thought, in all the every cognition is what? Vritti, nothing but vritti. A thought form of the object. Every thought. So thought and the thought form of the object, and there's consciousness. So there are many cognitions, various cognitions, variable cognitions. But in all the variable cognitions, the cognitions are variable because of the variation in the thoughts. And what is one thing which is invariably present is the consciousness. And that consciousness is one, indivisible. So that which is invariably present. So the I, the experiencer, knower, consciousness am invariably present in all the variable known thoughts, the cognitions. So thoughts, array thoughts exist, thoughts depart. What does not come and go is consciousness. When the thoughts are there, the cognitions are there, then consciousness is recognizable. As I am. The thoughts are not there, cognitions are not there, still consciousness is, but it is there non-recognizable. So in the absence of thoughts, the cognitions are not there, consciousness still continues to be there, because all pervasive, it cannot go anywhere. But it's non-recognizable. Just because consciousness is not recognizable, it is possible for people to mistake it to be non-existent. No, it's always there. So that's what here Acharya says, that the first half it says, Pratibodha viditam matam. Pratibodha viditam matam. So Pratibodha, Prati here means every. Pratibodha means what? So the knower consciousness, illuminator consciousness, the consciousness, the illuminator of the thought, is available for experience knowledge as the, in every variable cognition. So how do you understand consciousness is not the object of thought, but consciousness is not the object illumined by the thought, but consciousness is the illuminator of the thought. Understand? This is what you say, aparoksham jnanam. Do you see the subtle difference? Say consciousness is not known as an object of thought, but consciousness is here recognized as the illuminator, knower, seer of the thought, in whose presence the thought shines, because of whose presence cognition is possible. So every time in our day-to-day conversations, when we say space is, time is, water is, air is, light is, darkness is, man is, woman is, vehicle is, bus is, car is, book is, see, everything is, when we say that E stands for existence. So externally, existence of anything and everything presupposes the cognition of that object, the knowledge of that object. So existence presupposes the knowledge. If there is no knowledge of a given object, if there is no vritti pertaining to the given object, there cannot be cognition pertaining to the given object. There is no cognition, and that object, even if it is outside, still it is as good as non-existent. And so that's why vritti jnanam is like a light. Vritti jnanam is like a light. For vritti has to shine. For vritti to shine, there must be consciousness, isn't it? So if there's no vritti, cannot even exist without consciousness. Vritti rises and vritti becomes illumined. That's how cognition is possible. But here, so that is why existence of anything presupposes the cognition pertaining to that any object. The cognition presupposes what? The thought should rise. The thought is illumined by the consciousness. That is why absolutely it is the consciousness which indirectly illumines the external object by illumining the thought pertaining to the object. Got it? It's very important to know this. Now we say, and there's only one consciousness, all pervasive consciousness, which is not an object of thought, which is the illuminator, knower, seer of the thought. That is why, just as in every, when in experiencing any opaque thing, along with the illumined, experienced opaque thing, what is invariably present is the illuminator light. Illuminator light is invariably, inseparably present in the illumination of any opaque thing. In the same way, the knowledge of any object, along with the vritti, what is invariably present is the knower consciousness, illuminator consciousness. Is it clear? And that illuminator consciousness alone cognitively discerned from the thought, leave the thought pertaining to the object, that illuminator consciousness, invariably present consciousness alone should be cognitively discerned and claimed as the truth of I. And now we understand why consciousness is not an object of direct knowledge. It is not an object of course, not at all in the indirect object, indirect knowledge. Consciousness is not an object at all. It is not objectifiable. It is not an object of direct knowledge or indirect knowledge, because it is the very swarupam of the knower of the thought. The truth of the know. There's no knower of the thought. There's no illuminator of the thought, just other than consciousness. Understand? That is why we say this arriving at this consciousness, obtaining invariably in all the variable conscious cognitions, is what is said to be, thereby claiming that consciousness as the content of I, is aparoksham jnanam. Is it clear? What aparoksham jnanam? Okay. We'll be seeing the process of knowing. I have to come wait for that portion to come. Okay. So, pratibodha viditam matam. What it means? Matam here is known. So, this Brahmatma, absolute reality Brahman, is known as what? Viditam. Pratibodha viditam. Matam means viditam, known. So, the absolute reality Brahman is known as what? No, the innermost essence, the innermost illuminator of every cognition. Prati means every. Every thought. Every thought aspect of the cognition. Pratibodha viditam. Matam. How? In the form of consciousness. Pratibodha viditam matam means absolute reality Brahman is known as the innermost illuminator essence, illuminator self of every variable cognition in the form of consciousness. This is the main teaching. We'll see the Bhashyam again. When the Bhashyam will really add more light. Bhashyam will throw more light on this expression. Then Amritattvam hi vindate. Amritattvam hi vindate. A person indeed attains immortality. Immortality, because in knowing this reality as the very swarupam of the illuminator of the thought, as the very truth of, as the illuminator knower of the thought, as truth of the thought. And a person claims this as one's own swarupam, a person attains immortality. Amritattvam hi vindate. But it means Upanishad says, why should a person break one's head to discover this Atma, Brahmatma? Because one has to really discover this truth, absolute reality, Brahman, obtaining as the innermost consciousness, which is present invariably in all the variable cognitions. One has to claim this consciousness as Brahmatma, because there's a benefit. Because in knowing this Brahman as one's own self, in taking ownership of this Brahman as one's own self, a person attains immortality, which means a person takes ownership of the nature of Brahman as one's own nature, because Brahman is one's own self. When a person takes ownership of Brahman as oneself, Brahman as a self, and Brahman's Swarupam becomes one's own Swarupam. Immortality is the nature of the reality. One's own self is the reality. Brahman is the nature of immortality. When I know Brahman, my nature is immortality. This is how a person, by discovering Brahman, one discovers immortality being one's own nature. The discovering immortality being one's own nature is what? Attainment of immortality. Okay, next sentence. Now, Atmana Vindate Viryam. As I said, Upanishad continues its teaching. Atmana Vindate Viryam. Viryam literally means strength, prowess. But here, the word viryam means capability. So, a person vindate attains. A person attains capability, the capacity to discover Brahman as the innermost self by discerning the illuminated consciousness from the illumined thoughts, inseparable thoughts. How is it possible? Atmana, by the mind. A person is capable of discerning the consciousness from the invariably present consciousness in all the variable cognitions, and to claim that consciousness as the self with his absolutely adequately prepared mind. Atmana. So here Atma, in the second sentence, please make note. Second sentence, the word Atma means mind. Okay. Atmana Viryam Vindate. And which means with the mind, with the being endowed with a mind, highly prepared, mature, focused mind, a distraction-free mind. A person with a contemplative disposition of the mind, a focused attention, adequately prepared, one alone has the capability to discover Brahman by discerning the invariably present consciousness, Brahman, from the variable cognitions, thereby to claim it as one's own self. Because aparoksham jnanam. And here Upanishad prevents a person from searching for the reality as anything other than oneself. One should start searching for the reality as anything other than oneself. One should focus on, try to understand only one's own self. That's why Atmana Vindate Viryam. It is the, a person attains the capacity to discover the truth with his adequately prepared mind. And when a person, with his adequately prepared mind, the focused attention, the help of the Shastram, when unfolded, analyzes, okay, and sees, understands the experiences and cognitions, and he sees, he is able to discern the consciousness from the being present invariably in all the variable cognitions, then he attains jnanam, that I, the knower, am the invariably present in all the variable known thoughts. Then that is knowledge, vidyaya, by that knowledge, vidyaya, and through that knowledge, amritam vindate, a person attains immortality through knowledge. A person attains knowledge through the prepared mind. A person attains knowledge through the prepared mind. With the prepared mind, a person attains immortality through knowledge. The second line, Upanishad presents, what is required for jnanam? The first quarter, Upanishad makes it very clear, one should stop searching for Brahman as an object. One should discover Brahman as the innermost self. And to discover that, one must have prepared mind. So through the prepared mind, one must attain jnanam, and one must attain immortality through jnanam. This is the literal, very simple meaning of the mantra. The word Atma, the third case. Atma here does not mean consciousness here. Be very careful. See, the word Atma implies consciousness. But here the word Atma means mind. Got it? Antahkanam. So, Viryam Vindate means the person has the strength, the capability, capacity to discover, to claim that Brahman as one's own essential nature with, because of his, the prepared mind. With the mind having, you know, Sadhana Chatushtya Sampatti. Atmana Viryam Vindate. With the prepared, mature mind, the person has the capacity to, the person attains the capacity to attain jnanam. Then Vidya Amritam Vindate. So, Atmana Vindate Viryam means a person attains jnanam with a prepared mind. The preparedness is implied by the word viryam, okay, not by ordinary mind, prepared mind. And through knowledge, a person attains immortality. What is qualification for what? Jnanam is the qualification for moksha. Jnanam is the means of attainment of moksha. And mental preparation is the means of attainment of jnanam. Got it?
Viditam, Swamiji?
Huh?
Viditam, I understood Pratibodha and I understood Matam.
No, Pratibodha, Viditam, Matam. What I said, Brahman is implied here. So, Brahmatma is known how? Pratibodha Viditam. As there, Viditam means as the innermost essence. Brahmatma is known as the innermost essence. Vindate is the verb, isn't it? Vindate attains. Viryam Vindate means a person attains the required capability. Literate means strength. We take it the capability, capacity. Capacity to discover Brahman, that is implied. With what? With adequately prepared mind. We don't say simply the mind here. So with the mind, adequately prepared mind, a mature mind, a person has the capability to discover Brahman. By discovering Brahman, vidyaya, through knowledge, a person attains immortality. Pratibodha viditam. When you say that, the word viditam should be taken as the consciousness. Matam should be taken as known. Understand? Even though matam also means known, viditam also means known. There is pratibodha viditam matam. Brahman is understood, arrived at as the innermost self, obtaining or in the form of consciousness in every cognition. So pratibodha is in every cognition. Viditam means should be taken as obtaining in the form of consciousness.
Swamiji, the viditam, is it the knower?
Huh?
Viditam is the knower.
Meaning. Yeah, the knower consciousness. See, why? See, the knower is known. Knower is known. Brahman becomes known as the knower consciousness, okay, as the innermost self, obtaining as the, that's why I said knower consciousness, illuminator consciousness, obtaining in every variable cognition. Is it clear now? The knower becomes known, not as the known, but as the, in the form of consciousness. When you say consciousness, we don't even say knower again. That consciousness is said to be the knower only from the standpoint of the cognition, the standpoint of the thought, isn't it? That is why we should understand pratibodha viditam matam. Brahman, the absolute reality, Brahman is known as the innermost essence in every cognition, variable cognition, as the invariable consciousness. Okay?
Just one question. The viditam, is it from the root vind, attain,
no,
or from the novit?
No. Vindate is different. Vindate attains. That is vind dhatu. But viditam is from a vit dhatu. Veti. Verb is veti.
Okay.
The second conjugation root. You know, vid dhatu. Verb is veti. Janati. Isn't it? Viditam, we already came across that verb, participle. Viditam. Yeah. See, the thing is, viditam and matam also, we have to get the matam actually has different meanings. Known, thought, understood, isn't it? Viewed. But here, take this known. Pratibodha viditam matam. Why? You can ask the word why the consciousness is mentioned by the word viditam. Because it's already there. Even before the arrival of the thought, it is there. That's why participle is used. Is it clear now? Pratibodha viditam matam. He, kimattam matam, why is it known? He, because by knowing the Brahman as one's own self, a person attains immortality. He amritattvam vindate. Katam vindate amritattvam, katam jnanam vindate, brahma jnanam vindate, so atmana. Why? Because it is in the mind alone Brahman has to be arrived at. Even though Brahman is all pervasive, only in the antakkanam Brahman has to be arrived at. That too as the very surupma of the cognitions. The functional mind, That's why Puja Swami used to say, people, when they talk about meditation, you know, people think we have to drop all the thoughts. No, we don't need to drop all the thoughts. Thoughts must be there. Cognitions must be there. Only then, as the illuminator of the thoughts, you have to arrive at Brahman. The thoughts are dropped. How can you arrive at Brahman? The thoughts are dropped, consciousness will not be available for recognition. Like in sleep. Now many people hold on. No, in fact, we need thoughts. We need cognitions to arrive at Brahman. So dropping the thoughts will not be of any use. You can't discover arrive at Brahman. So by dropping the thoughts, arrive at Brahman, you can fall asleep and can discover. In sleep, thoughts are not there. Got it? Amazing. See, people don't think when what they say. From Puja Swami is very particular, every small aspect. Then we'll be going against the Shastra, Upanishad's teaching. Thoughts are dropped. Drop all your thoughts. What to do after dropping the thoughts? The cognitions must be there. And you must see how. Now all the variable cognitions, the knower is the same knower. On the same knower. So that knower, that one abstract, formless reality, which illumines all the cognitions, alone is given the title of the qualification of knower, the standpoint of the thoughts. Understand? It's exactly like the illumined opaque thing and the illumined illuminator light are not different. In the presence of the light, opaque thing shines. Isn't it? Here, the opaque thing comes to, in the presence of light, opaque thing shines. Opaque thing is not there. Light is still, same light is there without the qualification of illuminator. Opaque thing comes, light shines. Light gets the illuminator qualification. Like the thoughts come, thoughts shine. In the presence of thoughts, the consciousness, non-arriving, non-changing, non-departing, everlasting consciousness is given the qualification of knower, illuminator. Understand? That is how it's arrived at. Patibodha viditam matam amrutattam hi vindate atmana vindate viryam vidya vindate mrutam. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.